Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Flanagan of AL.com.
Craig Hamilton, what's up, man?
Well, Ben Flanagan, I think we're about to talk about some movies and awards.
Yeah, it's that time of year, and we've already talked awards a couple times, I guess, by now, but it's like the silly season for real now because we've had some critics' precursors, we've had National Board of Review, which is kind of the unofficial kickoff to the Oscars season, and I guess most bigly, we've had Golden Globe nominations that came out yesterday, and then tomorrow, SAG nominations come out. So we're kind of in this weird in-between day where we have less clarity than we will tomorrow in terms of how the Oscar acting races and possibly picture race will shake out. But we're going to try to predict those nominations. But before we get there, Craig, for this episode of Oscar seasoning, what do you think? Like, I mean, just in terms of big picture, how's it shaping up right now in the major categories for you?
Well, there's a couple that stand out right now, I think, just based on some of the critics' awards. I think La La Land and Moonlight right now are the ones, they're kind of alternating the wins. But I don't like it when critics or folks say that, you know, something is a lock at this point, because it just really isn't a lock. And it's kind of, there's not, having not seen most of the ones that are up for the awards yet, it's kind of hard to say this, but it doesn't feel like there are a ton of other options that could carry the best picture race. Then again, last year I could have said the same thing, in regards to Spotlight. But I think, so far it's Moonlight and La La Land. Those really grab the hearts and attentions of the critics that have weighed in so far. And I think that can definitely change. Just take a look at, you know, 2010, The Social Network won almost every single precursor award, critics award, almost every single thing that came out. And then the guilds started happening, and the King's Speech won all those. So it's really difficult to tell, especially when there's a couple out there that are kind of dominating.
Absolutely, and look, Passengers has yet to come out, so we really have no idea how this thing's going to shake out. Not for real, though. You're right. Look, it's going to come down between, right now, as we just sort of see it, Moonlight and La La Land are in a dead heat in terms of the best picture race. And that's just today. It doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. But if I'm just kind of looking down the list here in terms of how people are responding to these movies and what's being talked about the way they're being talked about, those two are kind of on a plane by themselves. And I think Manchester by the Sea is just like barely right under it. And
yeah.
And I don't know if I would compare it to Spotlight necessarily last year, but I think that it's the kind of movie that could sort of just hang around just long enough to keep it interesting. But we'll see. It's definitely, I don't know, just from the looks of it, from the outside looking in, it's a slightly smaller movie than those, and it's much more character-based. And while Moonlight is character-based, I'm sure La La Land has strong characters, it just seems more specific in that regard, while those movies perhaps on the surface seem bigger in scope and ask bigger questions, are more visually delightful for people. And so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you in that La La Land and Moonlight seem like the movies to beat. Now, that doesn't mean that there are other movies that can't sort of break the trend, because you have things like Martin Scorsese's Silence, a movie that's getting a lot of acclaim and is, I don't think it's polarizing, but, I mean, everybody loves Scorsese, and so everybody's going to give it a look and give it a chance and sort of give it a chance in terms of where it might stand in the Best Picture race. It seems, I don't know that it's going to be globally and just sort of like universally appealing to everyone in terms of its subject matter, but where safety's a heavy hitter, I would just say keep an eye on him. And like,
oh, yeah.
The only other movie that I can really think that could sort of like weirdly work its way into the fold is Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge, which has much to, I think, our surprise, even though we talked about this being a storyline on one of the previous Oscar seasoning episodes, like, is this the year that Hollywood lets Mel Gibson back into the club? Or will they forgive him via giving Hacksaw Ridge its due if it deserves its Oscar love or awards love? So far, Hacksaw Ridge has sort of been a pretty significant part of the conversation. It's been nominated for a bunch of stuff. It's been recognized on top 10 lists, and Andrew Garfield, in terms of the acting best actor category, seems like he could be a mainstay, at least as a nominee throughout the process. So those are the movies that, at least in the Best Picture race, keep an eye on. I think, it's those top two, then Manchester by the Sea, and then you're sort of getting into some murky territory. So, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Finish your thought. You're right on the cusp of closing that.
I was on the cusp of transitioning, so I want you to
get your
stuff in.
Yeah. that censored for families out there, the listening, our younger viewers that like to listen to the FNU. That's a little censored for you, but you probably didn't even know that. But anyways, no, I think you raised some good points. Right now I'm ready to say Silence is going to be nominated. But, you know, all these things happen. We're so confident in what's in the lead and what's got buzz and what's got steam. And then that the morning that the Oscar nominees are announced, you truly never know what they're going to say. There's going to be one or two movies that you're going to be like, wait, what? Even after the Producers Guild nominations, which line up fairly well with the Oscar nominees, ever since we've gone over five nominees, we're going to be surprised. And that's what I love about keeping up with awards season and stuff like that is trying to guess it right and then getting it wrong. I mean, one of the many things I love about it. But Silence, it was completely, you know, pardon the pun, completely silenced by the Golden Globes. And Andrew Garfield is considered for Hacksaw Ridge, but, you know, the Oscars also like to play games with, you know, which actor ends up in which category. I'm not certain how big Andrew Garfield's role in Silence is, but if it's either Hacksaw Ridge or that, you know, you never know what they're going to choose. But I definitely agree it's those three. It's Moonlight, La La Land, and Manchester by the Sea. I don't think that's overstepping at this point to say that they're probably going to get nominated for Best Picture. But everything else, I mean, I don't know. Arrival? I mean, there are so many. Loving, Fences. It's really hard to say. You could name about five or seven movies that could also be nominated, and they may all get nominated.
All right, and so we move on here to the lead acting categories, Craig. Best actor, I think kind of like the Best Picture race, this is a two-man race right now between Casey Affleck and I think Denzel Washington, strictly based on the trailer, and it's getting, you know, major acclaim specifically for the performances, and he is obviously the face of the movie and is a huge star, a two-time Oscar winner, and he could be going for a three-peat here, but Casey Affleck seems to have a lot of precursor momentum.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know a ton about Fences as far as, you know, evidently Denzel Washington has a pretty beefy role there. I agree. I think the Academy loves Denzel Washington. I mean, who doesn't love Denzel Washington? If it's borderline worthy, he's going to get nominated. And this really looks like it's more than worthy for him. I'm going to go ahead and obviously Casey Affleck, I believe, is going to get nominated along with Denzel Washington. But I'm going to go ahead and kind of throw in there Ryan Gosling for La La Land, mostly because if La La Land has any chance of a Best Picture, it's going to be really, really difficult to get that if Emma Stone is its only acting nomination. So I'm kind of extrapolating there in a weird way, but I think I'm going to have to throw in Ryan Gosling's name, and I could be overthinking it, but that's why I'm doing that.
No, I think that's appropriate, for sure. And the Casey Affleck factor is interesting because, you know, we talked a little bit about Nate Parker and where he sort of stood in the awards season as we were sort of making our way there, in how his personal issues that were pretty widely reported in the media, how that would affect his film's chances, and his film is now really like not even a part of this discussion anymore. So, you know, you can make an argument that it was the film itself that did that, or it was the personal issues that the media reported. And so Casey Affleck, while there are two totally different things going on, he too has some news happening in terms of allegations, sexual harassment allegations that were brought against him, and this issue was settled. And I listened to a recent episode of the WTF podcast with Mark Maron, on which Casey Affleck was a guest, and prior to their interview, Mark Maron said that they don't talk about the issue because it was made clear to him that Casey Affleck, part of the settlement was that he couldn't talk about the settlement or the case in any media whatsoever. So if he can't talk about it and people can't ask him about it and it won't come up, then maybe it doesn't affect his chances.
Right.
So that's just, you know, and whether or not that's the right or wrong thing, it's a shame, you know, that it has to come up, or we have to even, you know, associate the two things together. But unfortunately, things like that play a role.
You know, it's incredibly convenient that he can't talk about it. Well, usually it's the victim that is constrained by those stipulations from a case like that. The victim cannot tell the story or anything like that. In this case, it seems the alleged victimizer is the one that, unfortunately, can't tell the story. But at any rate, it is, I'm not so sure. I've reserved judgment. I know absolutely nothing about what happened. I don't think it's going to really affect his chances. Now, it's kind of a shame with the Nate Parker thing is that his movie Birth of a Nation had an incredible amount of momentum, I think, coming out of Sundance. Is that correct?
Yep.
And, you know, so only a handful of people actually saw it. Was it a kind of stark 12 Years of Slave sort of movie, or was it more of a kind of a rounded off sort of not as edgy version of that, which I would categorize as Oscar bait. And the thing is, you know, who creates this momentum at this point in the award season? Who is creating this momentum, such as what you see from Casey Affleck? Well, it's the Critics Awards. It's the precursors that have come out so far this year. They are well aware of the Nate Parker information, but they've also seen the movie. Do I think they would? This is kind of just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. Do I think they would allow some allegations from years ago affect their opinion of a movie when they're actual film critics? I don't think they would. I think this is kind of a group of people that would survey the art over the actions of the person that made it, especially when it was so far beforehand. And so I'm tending to lean towards that the Birth of a Nation kind of exclusion from all of this is just the fact that the movie, while it's probably a good one, maybe isn't Oscar worthy. That's my opinion, and I could be totally wrong. But it's kind of what I suspected about the movie to begin with, and having not seen it, and I know I really shouldn't be saying stuff like that when I haven't seen the movie, but it's just it's not a shocker to me, although it is a shame that we'll sort of never really know, will we, because of what the media has done, right or wrong. It kind of just changes people's minds in some way.
Yeah, it's just strange what drives these narratives, how it affects voters and critics, because, again, you go to a guy like Nate Parker, who was acquitted of the charges, and I know that there is gray area that has driven that conversation, but you have the situation where a bigger star, Casey Affleck, settled his situation, and now he's appearing on the Martin Marin podcast. He's hosting Saturday Night Live next week. He's appearing at the Broadcast Film Critics Awards on television, and he is winning all of these awards. So, you know, maybe it doesn't affect him. You know, maybe not. We'll see. There's still a lot of time between now and when the Oscar nominations are announced, and certainly when the Oscars take place. So, yeah, I think that's the best actor category. Casey Affleck and Denzel Washington. We'll predict the SAG categories here in a minute, and we'll get to who else might be lurking. But in this actress, I think this is probably the toughest race call right now, Craig. There are just so many names that are going to make it really hard to fill out a five-woman category. So you've got Natalie Portman. You got Natalie Portman, Emma Stone. You've got Amy Adams, Ruth Negga, Isabel Huppert for this Paul Verhoeven movie. Even Meryl Streep is out there with a performance. How do you see this one sort of dwindling down to five?
It's really cool to see it's such a competitive category this year, because unfortunately, too often the lead actress categories are just thin. And it's kind of a shame, but this year is definitely not the case. And it's really good to see that, because there are so many deserving women out there that need to be recognized here. But I agree. Emma Stone, I would definitely say she's going to be nominated. Natalie Portman, for sure. That's a tour de force, if there ever was one. And that movie, Jackie, may get, you know, some art direction, costume design, et cetera. But I think Natalie Portman is going to be what ushers this movie right through award season. And it's going to be super competitive. I tend to think she's got an edge up on Emma Stone, just because this is a biopic of a much beloved woman in American history that is still in the memories of lots of people that are still alive today. I think this is a story people want to see. They want to see this woman on the screen. And I think Natalie Portman is a perfect cast for that. And you know, the Academy loves Meryl Streep, so it really doesn't matter what she's doing. She's a great actress, and it doesn't have to be a super serious film that has a whole ton to say. They'll nominate her. You mentioned Ruth Negga, Isabella Huppert, Amy Adams. I think those are all in the running. But I also think I haven't seen Miss Sloan. This could be kind of a wayside pick, but it's something else that just clutters the category. Jessica Chastain, they love her too. She's incredible. But also the one that the big variable here is the overdue Annette Bening and 20th Century Women. I'm not sure how well that movie is doing or going to do, but she's a name that I hear, whether in the lead or the supporting. It's hard to tell. I think it's in the lead, but she's overdue, and you know how that goes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she is reaching a point now where we're going to be dropping that term sympathy Oscar, but people seem to really like that movie. It's directed by a guy, Mike Mills, who directed Christopher Plummer, now famously to his sympathy Oscar just a few years ago in the movie Beginners. So maybe he has that touch, but I don't know if this category might be too competitive this year for a sympathy Oscar to sort of drown the rest of them out. Because, yeah, like you said, you've got a great variety and diversity within this category, which is very interesting, because you've got big young stars like Emma Stone You've got and Natalie Portman, who's won an Oscar. You've got the sympathy Oscar narrative going with the Benning. Amy Adams, who will probably get nominated for her fifth or sixth time. I'm losing count at this point. And then you've got the movie Loving with Ruth Negga, and that could be that movie's lone nomination. We'll see. But then you've got Isabel Huppert, who has won a bunch of critics' prizes so far and probably will continue to for this little scene Paul Verhoeven movie, L. So I would just say watch out for her. Like, seriously, keep an eye on her, because if she keeps winning all these critics' prizes, it's going to get more eyes on the movie, and she's going to gain more traction, and you can see some vote splitting going on in such a competitive category. And you know, the Academy loves Meryl Streep so much, they might just go ahead and decide to snub one of them and just give Meryl Streep her 500th nomination. So
probably.
Yes. So we'll see. So let's quickly move on to the supporting categories. Again, I see them as less competitive, Craig, especially supporting actor, which is usually one of the most competitive categories annually. I think that Mahershala Ali from Moonlight, I think he kind of has a clear path to the win.
Yeah. I agree. It's everything else. It's just kind of. It's almost like, what mood are the voters going to be in, or which movie is going to be seen the most at the point in time when they're voting, or, you know, which screener's getting mailed out, you know, right after somebody had lunch or something. It's just, there's so many, like, Jeff Bridges and Hell or High Water. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's become sort of a Meryl Streep to the Academy, if you will, but in a smaller sense, definitely, in that he'll get nominated. He's a great actor. Ben Foster was also in that movie. You know, will he get nominated? Dev Patel in Lion. You know, he was great in Slumdog Millionaire, and hasn't really shown his face back in the Oscars yet, although he's worked some. Michael Shannon could get an Oscar with Nocturnal Animals, but they're all just, it's all conjecture at this point. They're just familiar names that we've seen before, and movies that have done decently. I think Ali is probably, barring some huge surprise of some movie that gets a whole bunch of momentum. I don't, you know, maybe some of the fellows from Silence get in, you know, I'm not sure.
Yeah, there's an actor named Issei Ogata who apparently could be one of those guys who sneaks into the category. I know nothing about the performance and nothing about that actor and really nothing about that movie outside of just that's a name I see floating out there. So
yeah.
I won't speak any more on that. But right now, just I think Ali's biggest competition, like you said, Jeff Bridges, but he's not going to win the Oscar this year. It's just not going to happen. And the only other name I've seen is Lucas Hedges, this newcomer in Manchester by the Sea. He won the newcomer award at the Broadcast Film Critics the other night and gave an impressive speech. And I think he's going to probably stick into the category as a nominee. But yeah, I don't see this as very competitive. So
you raise a good point. Lucas Hedges could sneak in. And that would beef up its Best Picture chances, because it would have potentially three acting categories, which always helps.
Yeah, including supporting actress with Michelle Williams. And she's, I would bet, a pretty surefire nominee at this point. And this is another category that I think it has a lot of impressive performances that are filling it, but to me, again, I see a clear path for Viola Davis, a woman who has been nominated a couple times now and is highly regarded in the industry and is now an Emmy winner and I believe won SAG and for The Help maybe. And I just think that Viola Davis is set. This is it. And based on what I'm hearing about this performance and what I've seen of it, it seems due, and she seems to be, definitely earning the praise and earning her money. So right now, like, if I had to call it, even without seeing the movie, I'm calling Viola Davis to win this.
Yeah, same here. I'm going to break my own rule and say, you know, this is Viola Davis. You know, I believe they moved her from, I don't know what that means to move from categories, whether you campaign for a different one or you just make, or the, whether the PR firm behind campaigning for a particular film makes it public that they want Viola Davis to be in the supporting actress category. But I agree. I think this is hers to lose, and I think she's going to win. It's a great year for her to have a great performance in this category, because unfortunately this is not as competitive as the lead. But Viola Davis is more than deserving. She's overdue. And she hasn't, you know, been around in the, you know, I think she was nominated for Doubt. I think that was her first movie. That was, you know, about a decade ago. So yeah, she's just done great performance, one right after another, and she's incredibly likable. She's just very, very talented. So I think, you know, and this is kind of her, if she turns the waterworks on, this thing's over.
Yeah, and to fill out the rest of the category, I mean, there are names like Michelle Williams, who will get nominated, Naomi Harris from Moonlight, who probably will get nominated, and there are a couple of others out there. But yeah, I mean, she just seems kind of head and shoulders above the rest, just in terms of momentum and the response that she's already gotten at awards ceremonies that have been televised already.
Yeah.
She's getting standing ovations, and so yeah, I guess, I don't know, I don't know if we should go ahead and call the race, but we're almost there.
Yeah, almost there. Yeah.
SAG Awards nominations come out tomorrow, and I thought it'd be fun if we just, you know, sort of give ourselves a sort of practice run at predicting the Oscar nominations, because, I mean, SAG very often lines up with the way the acting Oscar nominations go. So let's try to predict how these categories will shake out, and let's start right now with Best Actor.
Okay.
So yeah, give me the five. Who are the five that are going to get nominated?
Yeah. So there's a couple of these categories you could swap out one, like one with Oscar, but I think actor tends to be pretty evenly matched. I think for sure Casey Affleck, Denzel Washington, and I think Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Those three for sure. Now, filling in the other two, I just don't know. I part of it is uncertainty on how much screen time some of these actors get. Andrew Garfield, he could definitely be in there. Hacksaw Ridge at the moment seems to be getting more attention in Silence, because who's seen Silence? But I kind of see him in there with one or the other. Joel Edgerton in Loving, perhaps. But again, I'm not sure if that's more of a leader or supporting. And we can pretty much write off Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, you know, Tom Hanks is – I've got him on my list as maybe the fifth or sixth nominee in this category, because I mean, he is Tom Hanks after all. He kind of has the Meryl Streep factor, maybe not as much, but you can't really depend on his nomination as much as you can hers.
Right.
But she's actually in a reverse of roles. She's in the more competitive category this year, while he is maybe poised to sneak in, you know, like in the
Definitely,
past,
yeah.
Like if actress wasn't as competitive and Meryl Streep was in a movie, then just go ahead and pencil her in for a nomination. This time it's like, wait, Meryl Streep might not get in, but
yeah.
Now it's the case with Tom Hanks. And he gives a great performance in Sully, but it's just not, and that movie did pretty well at the box office, and people liked it just fine, but it's just not something that people are really talking about. It got snubbed completely at the Golden Globes, and while the Golden Globes and SAG are definitely not, you know, on the same page all the time, it could happen this time. So right now I've got Casey Affleck, I've got, like you, Denzel Washington, Ryan Gosling. I think Andrew Garfield gets nominated for Hacksaw Ridge. And so that leaves either Tom Hanks or Joel Edgerton. And I think just in terms of SAG and the way they've worked in the past, I'm going to lean Hanks.
You know, and sometimes when I'm on the fence and I'm just kind of stuck, I'll try to put myself on the nomination morning, Oscar nomination morning, and I try to hear the announcements of the nominations, and it's like, can I hear? Is that something I could hear? And Tom Hanks totally is, because it's just like not an obvious one, and they tend to deviate from the SAG slightly sometimes. So for lead actors, so yeah, I definitely. It sounds like we've got the same six at least. You can alternate one or the other.
Yeah, totally. So that's actress. But again, this is the hardest one to call, and hopefully SAG will give us kind of a clearer idea of what's going to happen. But with these five, Craig, I'll start here. I've got Natalie Portman, Emma Stone, Isabelle Huppert, and that's where I start slowing down. I'm gonna go ahead and toss in Amy Adams, and then it becomes a toss-up between Meryl Streep, Annette Bening, and Ruth Negga.
Yeah, this is
tough. The women we've already talked about. So I'm tossing in Amy Adams, and among those three, I think, I think Ruth Negga gets in.
You know, and because this is, as you said, such a full, diverse, in many ways, category right here. In my own head, I think about last year and how the Oscar So White conversation was going on. And then I think about this year and I see, well, look at all these potential nominees for actress. And then I think, how will the Academy respond? And so if all these women are equally deserving, how is it going to go? And so that's when I get lost in my own head and I make it more difficult on myself, because you've got young actresses, old actresses, actresses of different races, all could sneak in here. I agree. I'm thinking Emma Stone, Natalie Portman. I think Annette Bening does get in, and Amy Adams. And I also think Ruth Negga. Okay. But Isabelle Huppert and Meryl Streep could easily – this is like closer – this is obviously – these aren't swaps just like Hanks and Joel Edgerton for lead. These all need to be in there. Two are going to get left out, and it's just, who are they going to leave out, in my opinion.
Yep, and for supporting actor, again, Mahershala Ali is getting nominated and probably winning, and then you've got Jeff Bridges and Lucas Hedges. I think those three are in, and that leaves two openings. So,
I don't know. It's just because I just don't. No. Maybe the silence guy.
Yeah.
Issei Ogata?
Yeah, Issei Ogata. So I'm gonna save him for the Oscars. So I'm gonna leave him out this time.
Yeah, good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
So I'm gonna save him. And so there was another weird name, and so SAG gets weird sometimes, okay? Like, they'll just toss a name in there where you're just like, what? That has zero chance of getting an Oscar nomination. Like, was it a couple of years ago when, like, Naomi Watts, who's a great actress, she got nominated for that movie St. Vincent, that Bill Murray movie that, like, nobody saw, and it was just like, what the hell? So
they're gonna put Katie McKinnon for Ghostbusters in there.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. And I think another weird thing could happen in the supporting category, so like Hugh Grant for like Florence Foster Jenkins, like
I've got
weird.
Him on my list.
Yeah,
I've got
so
him down here.
If Meryl Streep doesn't get nominated, then he ain't getting nominated for that. So if I'm leaving Meryl Streep out, I'm taking Hugh Grant out. And so I'm gonna pick Dev Patel for Lion, and I think that maybe Michael Shannon sneaks in too for Nocturnal Animals.
I think I'm with you. I think I'm with you. Only Jeff Bridges from Hell or High Water. But Dev Patel, I just see Lion. I don't think that's out here, but I've seen names in that movie being discussed a ton. So I agree. Dev Patel and Michael Shannon.
All right. Two more categories. Supporting actress, other than Viola Davis, and Michelle Williams, and I would toss in Naomi Harris. Who are the last two?
Lion. Let's assume Lion is worth its salt, or at least can usher in a couple of acting. Maybe Nicole Kidman. This is the SAGs. I think I could see her getting nominated for a SAG for Lion.
Yep.
Janelle Monáe. I could see she's in Hidden Figures. That's not going to be. I don't see that getting anything from the Academy. Although it does look like Oscar bait, and it looks like a really cool story, sort of like Bletchley Circle, but with NASA and African American women as opposed to the British CIA. But I and Greta Gerwig, I have her on my list as well. She's in 20th Century Women. Those are a handful of choices that I could see getting nominated for the SAG. So to answer your question, I might go, can I answer your question? Nicole Kidman, I think. Oh, I don't know.
I'll help you out. I got Nicole Kidman too, and I'm going to go with Greta Gerwig as my fifth. And I totally agree. That movie Hidden Figures is kind of a wild card right now. Like, there are so many actresses in it that people love, and there are big performances, and it could be something that could definitely sneak in, and it could even wander into the next category. But I'm going to, for whatever reason, maybe
right.
my better judgment, leave the actresses out of the individual categories.
Yeah, they could definitely be kind of knocking each other out. Octavia Spencer, you know, that everyone loves her. But I think Janelle Monáe may play a really special character in that movie that people may like. But I'll agree with you there. Yeah. That's
going to
be a
tough
one.
The Best Ensemble, the last one, sort of the Best Picture of SAG. This one is tricky because you think of it as Best Picture, but it's just one of those weird categories that doesn't always align. But that being said, I do think the front runners to win Best Picture, to figure into the Best Picture race, like Moonlight and Manchester by the Sea, and possibly a La La Land for this category. I think that those three will probably all get nominated.
Yeah, La La Land has an ensemble. It's got a decent cast other than Gosling and Emma Stone. They are just not as prominent. But
that's
right. I think that could qualify them as being a competitor in the ensemble category. Manchester by the Sea, I think, has enough really meaty roles in it in different categories that's going to get it in there. I don't know, other than the two main performances on Moonlight, it doesn't have to have a huge cast to win ensemble, but they typically are the winner. The winners typically have the bigger cast, and they match up with Best Picture far fewer times than any of these other categories. And I also think Fences. And then after that, I mean, look at Silence. I mean, I don't know that this is a movie that SAG nominates just because, wow, it's really late. But Silence has several good performers in it. I don't know. What say you?
Yeah, I'm a little torn on Silence because you're right. It does have some big actors in it. But the way I look at this right now is I look at either what are, like, the best picture contenders, and do those have, like, wide-ranging ensembles or just, like, several notable members of their cast who give performances that people are talking about that stick out in the individual races. So I think of something like La La Land, and there are really only two that, like you said, people are talking about. So La La Land could be kind of a weirdly, even though it's kind of the front runner to win Best Picture, kind of the odd man out in this race.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm willing to go there, but I think like a movie like 20th Century Women that has a big ensemble and several performances that could get nominated, I think that sneaks into the best ensemble category, weirdly, for some reason.
I look
at something like Arrival, even, and Arrival is noted for its lead performance with Amy Adams, but it also has, you know, big stars in it like Jeremy Renner and Forrest Whitaker and Michael Stuhlbarg is a well-regarded actor. And so it has performances, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to get nominated. And I agree with you. I think Fences, just because, I mean, that if anybody's talking about anything regarding that movie, it's the performances. And that's the biggest strength of it. So I think Fences probably gets nominated. And just because, you know, SAG just does stuff like this, I think either Hidden Figures or Lion gets into the category.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. And Fences was a play, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so that kind of, that adds up there for sure, yeah.
Yep. So I think I'm going to take Arrival off, and I think I'm going to go with Lion instead of Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
So that leaves me with six titles. So I've got 20th Century Women, I've got Fences, I've got La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight. I think Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight are definitely in. I think Fences is probably definitely in. So that gives me Lion, La La Land, and 20th Century Women. Between one of those, what am I getting rid of?
Yeah. What were they again? Say those again. La La Land, 20th Century Women, and?
And Lion.
Lion. I kind of think backwards in some of these things. La La Land has best picture momentum. What would an exclusion in ensemble do to its best picture momentum?
Yep.
I don't have those stats on hand. It wouldn't help it, that's for sure. It could win without it, certainly. But is it that kind of movie? I don't think it is. So I think La La Land gets in ensemble.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So that leaves 20th Century Women and Lion, which you can't. My gut tells me to go with Lion.
Like, really?
To include it, but.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a toss-up. Between those two, which do you think has the better
shot? Oh, if I could see how much, if you could show me like a chart that show, or if I could see the movies, or if I knew how much screen time the actors all got at once, like if they overlapped, you know, like two or three of the actors were on screen at the same time for a decent part of the movie, or 20th Century Women, are they disconnected or are they connected? You know, that's not a, you know, if they're disconnected, that doesn't mean they're not going to get an ensemble, but that would help me decide. So it's really hard for me to answer that because I know so little about both of those movies.
Well, I'm just going back and looking at the stats for movies that were up for best ensemble, and you got to go way back to find a cast that was in a Best Picture winner that was not nominated for Best Ensemble at SAG. So I think that's, for that reason, I think La La Land is probably a shoe-in to get a nomination.
And if it doesn't, then I think we know it may not win Best Picture. And this is based on the assumption that it's going to be at least in the race for Best Picture,
which is a good assumption
to make. But
the last time that a movie that won Best Picture was not nominated for Best Ensemble was in 1995, and Braveheart was not nominated.
Yeah, Braveheart broke a ton of rules that year.
I think that was the first ever SAG Best Ensemble, or the first ever SAG ceremony.
Yeah, and so that's kind of you kind of almost have to throw it out, don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
But Braveheart is a special movie when you consider Oscar statistics. I think it wasn't nominated for director, but won picture, or that may not be correct. It was something weird like that. It definitely defied the laws of Oscar in a couple of different ways. So.
Yeah, okay, and the stat says here on the Wikipedia page, Braveheart is the only Academy Award-winning Best Picture not to be nominated for SAG. So it's the only time it's ever happened. I don't see La La Land ranking that three.
It's not a Braveheart, and that's it's timing, and it's timing as far as when in the decade it comes out, and it's timing as far as, you know, who sees it in, you know, early in the year or late in the year.
Yeah. So if I'm predicting that that you predict Annette Bening gets in. I'm predicting she doesn't, even though I think she probably will. So if I'm going to be consistent with my pick, if she's not getting nominated, the cast isn't getting nominated. So I'm going to go with Lion. So my five for ensemble are Fences, La La Land, Lion, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
Okay.
What are yours?
La La Land, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight, Fences. I'm having a tough time with this last one. I'm having a real tough time. Look, I'll go with Lion too, but I need to do some more research.
Okay. Well, that's it then. We're in. We're locked in.
All righty.
All right. So, anything else? Anything you want to throw out there before we go?
No, I don't suppose so.
Okay. The only thing I want to say here is I recorded a review of Moonlight with our friend Jeremy Burgess not long ago, and he asked me at the end of it. He said, "What do you think Moonlight's Oscar chances are?" And at the time when I spoke to him, I feel like I just completely underestimated Moonlight's chances as like a major like A-list contender this year. And I said, you know, it's probably going to get probably a picture nomination, maybe an acting nomination, screenplay. And I just didn't see it as a movie. I thought that for whatever reason, its scale in terms of being an independent release may have hurt its chances. But after seeing the movie, reflecting on it, reading more about it, and now seeing obviously where it stands in the Oscar race, Moonlight is the real deal. And it's a movie that it's going to be in the Best Picture conversation to win, not just to be nominated. It's right there with La La Land as a movie to really take seriously as an Oscar contender. So, yeah, I think I was wrong back then. So,
well, that's okay. And really, we're not predicting what movie deserves to win. This is about how critics, the Academy, the guilds respond to the movie itself and to the PR that's done on behalf of the films and the actors and actresses. And that's partly what makes it fun for me is trying to predict a machine and humans and, you know, public relations. So you never know how a group of people are going to respond to an indie film. They're probably not going to give it a Best Picture. But they're off, generally speaking, but every year there are one or two that have a ton of momentum, and you just never know how the Academy will respond until you see how the critics respond with their awards and then how the guilds and the precursors respond. So, yeah, no shame in that. Early, and, you know, we've still got a month or two before we make our final prediction. So, yeah.
Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.